A very good evening to you. Come along once again to Sweet and Swing. H with you through until the top of the hour, with some wonderful sounds from long ago and far away. What have we got? What about some Billy Cotton, Wakey Wakey? The mellow tones of Sam Brown. More from Carol Gibbons and the Savoy Hotel Orpheans. To start us off, something I'm sure Mr. Glover wouldn't be happy with. Stay out of the South. Great way to get going, I'm thinking that one. Stay out of the South. Yes, I'm sure Mr. Morehouse and Mr. Glover would not put that on their manifestos. And no, there's no need to. Lovely place of the island, isn't it? One way or another. Plenty to see and do. The airport's there. Again, if you want to come and go and get some sunshine. Lord knows we need some of that. I don't think it's unique to the Isle of Man, to be fair. It seems like most of the UK has been having this spring, which consists of rain, and then a bit more rain. With, just to break things up a bit, fog and lots of wind. Sun has been, I wouldn't say invisible, or at least not visible at all, but at a premium, if we're being polite. We live in hope, don't we? Quite often, we have that sort of spell just before TT, don't we? You always think, oh, but you hope and pray, as indeed, as prayers were answered last year, TT was glorious. Usually, we have a lovely spell in the run-up to TT and everyone gets excited, and then the bikes start and it starts to hammer down for the next 2 weeks. Let's keep our fingers crossed, you know, after all this rain, it'll be rained out and we'll have a nice dry May and it'll run right the way through into June. It'll all be glorious and everyone will be safe and happy. There we go. There's a good thought for the start of the day. I'm trying my best to think positive. Not always easy, it has to be said. You only have to ask my wife. Jack Simpson and his sextet with Betty Kent taking the vocals. And yeah, Betty Kent, I think I've mentioned before, if you didn't know, has rather a famous jazz heritage. She was born, it's a clue this, she was born Elizabeth Scott Chisholm. Is that a clue? Scott Chisholm. Second cousin to one George Chisholm, of course. Famous trombonist of this parish. Well, not this exact parish, but I mean, he's very well known in the British Isles and no stranger to Manx Shores. Played over here several times over the years. And then Betty went on to marry the band leader Teddy Foster and became his singer. Good way to do it. Marry him first, then become his singer. Sometimes it's the other way around, isn't it? They may become the singer first and then marry them. But there we go. Betty did it the other way around and went on to perform, as we heard, with Jack Simpson there. Also, Jack Payne, Lou Prager, Edgar Jackson. Plenty of Jacks in her life. And if you cast your minds back, just a bit before my time, but you never know, you might remember the 1938 Royal Command performance. Betty appeared there. Sadly, not a wonderful start to the life, and that part of the life was glorious, but then in latter years, it all became a little sad, really. She gave up her career to devote herself solely to their adopted daughter, which was lovely, and then she started suffering poor health herself, got depression, and ended up taking her own life, which is a very sad end for what clearly was a very talented singer and someone, yes, had so much to offer. Oh, dear me. Dear me. But we have happier times to remember her from, and I think one of them was there. Lovely voice and a great up-tempo number. Now then, Billy Cotton, I mentioned at the beginning there, I don't think we've played any Billy for ages, so we're going to put that right straight away with a little medley. See what you can pick out of this.
Sorry.
Care for. Each night I say a little prayer for just one more chance, just one more night to taste the kisses that enchant me. I'd want no others if you'd grant me just one more chance. I've learned the meaning of repentance. Now you're the jury at my trial. I know that I should serve my sentence. Still I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out. But now I'm back to cry my heart out for just one more child.
You were meant for me. You, nature patterned you, and when she was done, you were all the sweet things rolled up in one. You're like a plaintive melody that never sets me free. I'm content. The angels must have sent you, and they meant you just for me.
Meant you just for me, Billy Cotton and his band, or his orchestra, as you will. I think it's listed as orchestra on the CD. Billy Cotton and his orchestra perform big band hits. Well, they do indeed there. Did you? Well, it wasn't too challenging, really, was it, to actually get hold of the some of the numbers there, seeing as they're all sung, but, you know, you could sing along one way or another in any case, can't you? Which is rather fine. Well, yes, I'll give them for you just in case. It was Who Sorry Now, Just One More Chance, and You Were Meant For Me. Billy himself singing there, I think. No mention of who the vocalist is. If you know, and you probably do, I'm not going to get a guess because I'll get it wrong and then I'll get shouted at. So if you know, and I'm sure lots of you do, ping me a message. Let me know in any case. Howard Caine at manxradio.com. C-A-I-N-E. Could be Kathy Kay, something like that. What do you reckon? Billy Cotton, of course, larger than life sort of Cockney character. And he started the show with, yes, we all know, Wakey Wakey, and such like, followed by the old band's signature tune, Somebody Stole My Girl. And transferred over to the BBC in the 50s, 1956, usually on Saturday evenings, peak viewing, 7 p.m. Saturday evenings, and ran under various iterations or various names of pretty much the same sort of show, the Billy Cotton Band Show, until 1968, by which time I was more than in being. I don't remember it, I must admit. I was pretty young. It's the sort of thing I can imagine the old maestro would definitely have had on television, but I confess, rack my brains as I will, I cannot recall ever sort of being in the living room with it on. I must have been, but I just can't recall at all. No, won't come back to me. And yes, Alan Breeze, old Breezy, with him for a long time. I think he eventually sacked him, didn't he, on the stage. Oh, dear me. Kathy Kay, was that Kathy Kay? Might have been. The pianist Russ Conway was a regular, as was another pianist, a certain lady by the name of Mrs. Mills. Remember her? Made her very first television appearance on the Billy Cotton Band Show. And she was a lady who was, yes, what do we say? She was, yes, Rubenesque, can you say that? It's probably not PC. Well upholstered? No, that's even worse. She was a very jolly lady, yes. She was bonny, as my mum would have said. A bonny lady with a big smile and a big heart and a big piano, and she sat down and played sort of honky-tonk style a lot of the time, would you believe? And what is more surprising, in that, well, it was had comedy in it, wasn't it? It wasn't a sort of serious show, the Billy Cotton Band Show. It was quite an uplifted, funny, humorous show, had jokes in. Who do you think became, or used to write jokes for the show? Who would you associate straight off with the Billy Cotton Band Show for writing jokes for Billy Cotton and all that sort of era and that style of humour? Any ideas? No? You give in? It's a tricky one. I don't know. You either know it or you don't. I think it's quite tricky. Well, of course, it's as you imagine. Frank Muir? No. Dennis Norton? No. Terry Jones and Michael Palin, who of course went on to become members of Monty Python's Flying Circus, started their careers writing gags for the Billy Cotton Band Show. You'd have never got that, would you? Nice indeed. That's the man who has or brings us our theme tune every week, Eric Winston and his band with Bottle Party. Yeah, we all enjoy a good bottle party, don't we? If you still have them these days, one way to cheer yourselves up after all the miserable weather, have a bottle party. Why not? Doesn't have to be booze. You can just bring milk and lemonade, that sort of stuff. Why not? Good tune in any case, and a good player as well. Great orchestra he used to have. It is Sweet and Swing. H with you through until the top of the hour. Always lovely to have your company. And as we always say, do get in touch with any ideas, anything you might like to hear, anyone you might like featured, just a request of a tune, just a few thoughts, just to say hello, or join the Faraway Club if you're listening in far-flung places via the wonders of the web. And speaking of which, I had a lovely little email the other day from Paul Tier. Hello, Paul. Hope you're listening on the podcast. Driving away down the motorway. Don't take your eyes off the road. He says, "Dear H, I'm a Manx-born lad and raised living across for some 40 years. I'm 60 this year." Oh, I can beat you there. Thoughts are turning to retirement, possibly back on the Isle of Man. Well, wonderful idea. Great place to live for your retirement. Very nice. Very safe. Very, a bit wet and windy, but you're probably used to that in any case. You know the Isle of Man. But very nice place. Yes, come back. Be lovely to see you here. So imagine how pleased I was, he says, to find a swing and jazz podcast from Manx Radio. I've got two long drives on the M4 and 5, around 100 miles per trip twice a week. Now, I've got two wonderful pods to listen to during my long drives and with Manx accents. So I think he's talking about this show. Yes, he is, yes, sir. And tomorrow's show, podcast Jumping In with Brother Chris as well. Also, similarly, Manx. Man, fella, whatever you want to say. Yes, well, thank you very much for that. It's lovely to have someone along. Glad you're appreciating the music. And he just sort of says, oh, well, while you're mentioning it, love to hear Chet Baker or something by Dean Martin. I think we can get either of those into the show, Paul. But I think Chet happens to be in the bag. So Chet it is.
I love the moonlight. I love the old-fashioned things. The sound of rain upon my the starry song that April sings. This year's fancies are passing fancies, but sighs holding hands, these my heart understands. I'm old fashioned, but I don't mind it. That's how as long as you agree to stay old-fashioned with me. As long as you agree to stay. Old-fashioned with me.
Oh, yes. Lovely. You know what? I've never been much of a fan of jazz vocals, as I've oft recited on this programme, I think, and the other programme for that matter. Jumping in, 9 o'clock, Saturday night with Brother Chris. Check it out. Best in modern and contemporary jazz. And none the worse for that. But, yeah, there's just something... There is something about his tone, wasn't he? He's a wonderful trumpet player, and perhaps best known for his trumpet playing and that West Coast sound. But, my goodness, he just had such a delicate sound. And that sort of fragility in his voice, and certainly early Doors, it got a bit wavery later on, but when he was relatively young, he was pretty much on pitch as well. And oh my goodness, it sort of tugs the heartstrings, doesn't it? And almost sort of that higher pitch, that higher register, slightly sort of feminine sounding. Oh goodness me, wonderful. I'm old fashioned. Could Chet Baker sings It Could Happen to You. Yeah, wonderful. Recorded in New York in August 1958. Rather nice lineup. Chet doing trumpet and vocals there, of course. Kenny Drew at the piano. George Morrow at the bass. And Philly Joe Jones at the drums. I'm saying that. Yes, he was. Danny Richmond also played drums, but not on that one. Philly Joe at the drums. Pretty good lineup he had there, it has to be said. Thank you for that suggestion, Paul. Yeah, I don't need much suggestion to play a bit of Chet. And lovely to have that one back on air again. Several from our friends at Avid Jazz on one of those four classic albums plus collections, which work a treat. If you haven't checked those out, even if it's downloads, I dare say, but I mean, they're so, if you like a CD, which I still do, then yeah, they're just such great value. And remastered some of them. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful. Can't go wrong. I'll keep that one in the bag for now, I think, Paul. Good idea. Thank you very much indeed. Now then, the dulcet tones, the mellow tones of Sam Brown, he of Sweet Shop fame on Walpole Avenue. And yes, haven't heard from him for a while either. And he did have a lovely voice. Not the same as Chet's, but also equally mellow, I would say. For a twofer. Wonderful stuff. Wonderful stuff. Really enjoyed a few minutes of sheer bliss there, I felt. Either. Take your pick. Wonderful. What do we have? Well, of course, we had a bit of Sam Brown, followed by the inimitable Jelly Roll Morton. And Sam Brown, again, we've... it became quite a thing for a while because the old maestro always used to tell me that he thought he ran a sweet shop later on the Isle of Man after he retired from business, and we sort of struggled to corroborate this for quite some time, but it did indeed turn out to be true, and it was indeed down on Walpole Avenue. Long gone, don't look for it now. It's all offices and such like around there, but yes, he decided to come over here and do that for a stage. Born in Stepney, he was, in 1898, the year before my grandmother. And before war, his rise from rags to riches was pretty rapid, and then sadly paralleled by a post-war reversal in fortunes, which left him in, well, obscurity, realistically. He joined the Merchant Navy after school, and he played drums very well and mastered musical theory so well that band leaders at the time were absolutely delighted to hire a man who could just read a tune at first sight. A really good sight reader. Not always the case for a lot of these musicians. And shot to fame with Jack Hilton's travelling show and the band there, before joining Ambrose at the Mayfair Hotel, and after that making lots of records with loads of different bands, also comparing live broadcasts and the likes. A bit of an A-star, an A-lister of his day, the sort of Michael Barrymore of his day, or whoever you were choosing, or I don't know, George... I'm just trying to think, who else would it be like? You know what I mean, someone who's sort of on the air all the time, Graham Norton maybe, someone like that. But he was actually quite shy in his own real character, and just was very good at not letting the nerves appear, and vied for the top place in the public's affections with the likes, of course, of Al Bowley and Denny Dennis. But, like a lot of... so often we hear this story, that as rapidly as he earned the money, he spent it. And mainly, yes, we've heard this one before as well, isn't it? Betting. He was a sort of compulsive gambler, and he really did go to the dogs somewhat. In 1935, at the height of his fame, he was in the Royal Command performance. That's 3 years before Betty in 1938, wasn't it? At the London Palladium, accompanied by Elsie Carlyle, with whom he had a successful on-stage relationship. But this came to an abrupt end when, travelling with her by train, he was hit in the neck by three bullets fired from the trackside. Amazing. I mean, just, it's boy's own stuff, isn't it? And only the window, the fact that the window was there in the way, saved his life. And 20 years later, he was back at the Royal Command performance, having recovered from this brush with death. And in that time, he was with Ted Heath and other old stagers. And he was in a film, I think, yeah. He was, after the war, appeared with Ben Lyon and B.B. Daniels in the radio programme High Gang, remember that? But things were changing a bit somewhat, and he didn't quite make it in the same way. He did resurface when a hoax imitating for a documentary film was exposed as a fake. But his double was so successful in both looks and performance that he was only rumbled when he insisted he made his first record in 1931. And he got his dates mixed up 3 years too late. The film producers set a trap, and when the hoaxer failed to recognise band leader Lou Stone, he confessed all. And then he too disappeared. Sam completed the film. But it wasn't a success, and he disappeared, as I say. A man who recorded more with more bands than anyone else in history, it was reckoned at the time. Died on his own in the early 1970s. But in between that, he did have a brief spell running a sweet shop on Walpole Avenue in the Isle of Man. Couldn't make it up, could you? Really couldn't. Really, the stories are just... Oh, we could fill the entire programme with stories and just no music, but I think you'd get a bit bored after a while of me wittering on. And as for Jelly Roll Morton, well, as I always say, if you don't know why he's called Jelly Roll, I'm not going to tell you. Look it up. But it may or may not be connected with the fact that he did used to play quite a lot in a brothel. I'll leave it there.
Life is such a great adventure. Learn to live it as you go. No one in the world can censure what we do here below. Don't save your kisses, just pass them around. You'll find my reason is logically sound. Who's going to know that you passed them around 100 years from today? Why crave a penthouse that's fit for a queen? You're nearer heaven on Mother Earth's green. If you had millions, what would they all mean 100 years from today? So just laugh and sing, make love the thing, be happy while you may. There's always one beneath the sun who's bound to make you feel that way. The moon is shining and that's a good sign. Cling to me closer and say you'll be mine. Remember, darling, we won't see it shine 100 years from today. Oh, 100 years from today.
Nice one, 100 years from today. Jack Teagarden, of course, with his orchestra. Jack taking the vocals as well there, made that tune his own, recorded it numerous times and must have played it hundreds of times more, but still sounds good, doesn't it? Very good indeed. Jack there taking the solo and the coda, but there is, in the clarinet contribution, a bit of a treat there. Danny Polo playing the clarinet. Wonderful sound. And yeah, we haven't had much Jack Teagarden of late. Try and put that right. Good voice, good sound from the band as well. This one taken, it's one I might keep in the bag for a while. having a rummage through the shelves for something new, and this one came up. It's a jazz and vocal collection in the clarity and reality, we're told, of the CD, of three-dimensional sound, stereo from mono, conversions that are really convincing. So we were listening in glorious stereo. Was that really convincing? I don't know. Was it 3D? And the blurb inside by Clary Henry. Welcome, Henley, I beg her pardon. Clary? Yes, I take it is a woman, I don't know. Or is it Clary? Clary? Is that a man's name? I always thought that was a woman's name. No, it's a man's name. Clary. C-L-A-R-R-I-E. Nice name. You don't often hear it, do you? Anyway, he goes on to say, 23 titles on this CD, carefully selected to offer a cross-section of musical styles, presented in remarkable new three-dimensional sound system. Well, there you are, you've been told. many of the transfers taken from rare vinyl test pressings that offer greater clarity and less surface noise than the regular production shellac discs. Some have been taken from high-quality laminated pressings, and great efforts have been made to obtain the best available source material, all remastered with full consideration for the music quality before processing through the new three-dimensional mono-to-stereo technique. Now, I say this is a new technique. We're talking about 1996 here, so things might have moved on, I don't know. The system developed over years of research in the States by Richard Brody, a man of diverse talents who studied as an engineer and spent most of his life working as a musician. His passion for jazz led to a consuming desire to bring life to those great monophonic recordings originally released on shellac on 78 RPM discs. I've tried to get as near as possible as to how those wonderful players sounded, he says, and to give them some sort of parity with recordings made today. I'll leave you to make your own mind up on that. It sounded good to me, listening through the headphones. So if you're listening on the podcast through phones or via your phone or whilst you're out jogging or maybe sat at home with headphones on and a glass of something nice, let me know, howardcaine@manxradio.com. I will keep that one in the bag, I think, because there's all sorts of stuff on it. Jitterbug Waltz with Fats Waller, Wild Man Blues with Johnny Dodds, Jelly Roll Morton, you name it, they're all there. Glenn Miller on Little Street in Singapore. We'll feature a few more of those, I think, and you can judge how well the whole thing has come up. Carol Gibbons, we've been enjoying a little sort of retrospective of some of Carol's wonderful sounds from the album Sand in My Shoes, with a collection of music, in any case, transferred from the original 78s. Onto CD in this case. Remastered by Ted Kendall, if you're interested. How about this one? The More I See of You.
Somehow this feeling just grows and grows.
Carol Gibbons, of course, with that inimitable sound that he had. Lovely laid-back sound. I just really like it. It's sort of, you couldn't ever take offence on it. It all just sort of toots along with no problem at all. There was something very special about him, and to his friends, he was a really true friend, as we were saying last week, and had a very distinctive left-hand style at the piano by using, we're getting technical here, he used to use reverse tenths, so having a tenth, that's an interval just over an octave, and then reversing it the other way around, producing what's described as lilting syncopation. Lilting, that's a very good word for it. But it was much more than that, because his left hand was terrific, but that sort of pivoted around, everything else hung around it, and his finest recordings, where the piano featured prominently, really made him stand out, I think, with something, a picture of smooth sophistication, everything in its place. The boyfriends, of course, Carol, yes, the boy you wouldn't necessarily get away with or use that name now in the same sense, would you? Carol Gibbons and his boyfriends, some of whom had been with him, that was his sort of group in the New Mayfair Dance Orchestra and the Savoy Orpheans. And you had a lineup which included the likes of second pianist Harry Jacobson, the trumpeter Bill Shakespeare, George Mellacrino playing clarinet and violin, the guitarist Bert Thomas, Jack Evarts on string bass. And occasionally, for one reason or another, we're told, regular replacements included the violinists Reg Leopold, Eugene Peeney, Hugo Rignold, or Eric Sidé, and the reedman Laurie Payne, who went on to become quite a man in himself, doing music for TV, I think, later on, didn't he? And in December 33, they all started out their sponsored programme for Radio Luxembourg in the Bush Radio Hour. And such was their popularity that future sponsors, after the Bush Radio Hour, included Palmolive, yes, the soap makers, Spry, Crisp and Spry, Dry, yes, the cooking oil people, Ovaltine, we are the Ovaltines, yes, the Ovaltine, the drink, still going strong, haven't had a glass for or a mug for a while, but very nice, and most famously, perhaps, although I thought Ovaltine might have been the one, but most famously, Hartley's Jam, all still going. All still wonderful. Taking the vocals there with Carol Gibbons, by the way, Edna Kay. Edna, my mother's name, a name now which is almost extinct, I think, for... I mean, when was the last time a young girl was christened Edna? It's just so out of fashion at the moment. It will come back, as all these things do at some stage. It just needs a pop star or some member of royalty or something similar, an actress, to name a child Edna, and it will zoom straight back into fashion. But at the moment, it is... really, really out of fashion. Very few Ednas around, I would suggest, under the age of 50 or 60. A few, but very few. But Edna Kay, very, very popular name in the early part of the 20th century. My mum and Edna Kay, the singer, who succeeded Stella Roberta with Mantovani back in the early 1940s and sang with the likes of Carol, Lou Prager, Prima Scala, and she married Stanley Black. Speaking of Lou Prager...
Broken dreams. like to state, his work is great, and if you wait, he won't take long. And you can watch the children of the neighborhood gaily dancing to his merry song. If you're along the street and hear a song that's sweet, it's not any penny. Just a cobbler who shoes your blues away with a shoemaker's serenade.
The Shoemaker's Serenade, no less. Lou Prager and his orchestra. And no details, annoyingly, on who the actual vocalist was there singing with Lou. It's from one of those collections of dance bands of the 30s and 40s. Lots of great stuff, but didn't give any details on the recording or vocalists or anything else at all. We're just told it's the Shoemaker's Serenade, and it is with Lou Prager and his orchestra. Yeah, well, take your pick on that one. I do like the opening notes, though, from Martin Hutchinson on this collection. Every decade seems to have its special kind of music, he writes. The 80s had new romantic and acid house. The 70s had disco, punk and glam. The 60s, psychedelia and beat. And the 50s, rock and roll. But what about before then? Well, the populace needed to have a good time during the era because, of course, we're talking about just after the World War that everyone had to contend with. So people went out to the dance halls and dance band music, especially when performed by the bands we have here, is certainly the best, and some may say only type of music to sum up the 30s and the 40s. I don't think any of us who listen to this programme would disagree with that when you think that he was featuring the likes of Joe Loss, Harry Gold, Wolf Phillips, Harry Roy, Nat Ginella, Ray Noble, the list goes on. All of the biggest bands. And it's true, it was all feel-good music, wasn't it? And even the serenades and the ballads had a feel-good factor about them. Because I think that's what people needed. And you know what? I think we might need it now as well. That's about it for another week, I reckon. Where does the time go? Difficult to tell we're in spring, but we are. Someone was saying the other day about 6 weeks to TT. Surely not. Probably only about 30 weeks to Christmas. We might even get some sunny weather before then. Whatever you're doing, stay dry, stay warm, try and stay happy. I'll try and copy you. Till then, cheerio.